You're listening to Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. The city of Flint is considering changing its charter. It could change how city government operates, taxes, and more. It's already been reported by my colleague Steve Carmody that it could stiffen ethics rules and change other rules to make City Hall more transparent. The Flint Charter Review Commission is proposing the changes. Cleora McGee chairs the commission and joins us now. Ms. McGee, why is a rewrite of the city charter needed?
Well, the last time it was rewritten was in 1974. As you know, there have been a lot of changes since that time, and there's some things that we wanted to do to make sure that we had a stronger government.
After emergency management of Flint, is this kind of a reset or rethinking of government structure?
Yes, it is. You know, our form of government will stay the same, however, but there's some ethical standards that we've set forth. We just want to make it more stronger, have more citizen input.
It was reported that you were considering changes in the structure of government for the city. What kind of discussions did you have, and why did you decide to stay with a strong mayor and city council structure?
We didn't want to be divisive. We didn't want to, to cause divisions within the city. There were differences among our commissioners because we debated the issue, but we did come to an agreement that it was better for the city.
So outline some of the major changes being considered.
Strong ethics and improved charter enforcement. Enforcement has been a problem with the charter. We think that we have added some provisions that will strengthen that.
Let me stop you. What kind of problems?
Well, ethics within city government, basically not enforcing the charter when it comes to dropping areas and so forth. As an example, the ombudsman. That's one of the things that people really wanted, ombudsman's office. It was dropped. Civil service was dropped. We just wanted to make the charter stronger. We wanted to give it enforcement powers, and we have done that through a ethics and accountability board that would be responsible for that ombudsman, who would have the power to provide the enforcement power for the city.
What kind of input are you getting from the citizens of Flint?
We've gotten good input from citizens. One of the things we have tried to do since we were elected is try to be very transparent. We've had a number of community meetings. Our regular meetings always open to the public, and we invite citizens to come in and give their comments. And so right now we have a very strong, aggressive movement to get the word out that the draft is ready, and we want public comment on that draft.
Can you give me a few examples of the kind of comments you've already received?
Well, on the ethics board, people really support that. Another area is we're proposing that we change the election cycle to have the election of city council along with the governor's election, the gubernatorial election, at the same time and the mayoral election, so that there will be more voter turnout, as well as we will have those that are running for council run for council, those that are running for mayor run for mayor, and not both.
What lessons that you learned because of the Flint water crisis informed this change?
Had there been a stronger enforcement of the charter, especially the ombudsman piece, if that had been in place? Plus, one of the things we have added to state that anytime there is an appointee made, that appointee must have those criteria necessary to run whatever office that person's going to run, so they would know what they're doing, to have the basic knowledge of that department and what it takes to run a department.
What I think I hear you saying is, if you would have had stronger guidelines, a stronger charter before, you might never have had to have an emergency manager and everything that happened after that. Is that correct?
In part. Of course, we've had other problems with finances and so forth because, as you know, we've gone through a cycle of losing almost half of our population. So we realized that was a major problem as well. Hindsight would tell us that, yes, that's a possibility, along with a number of other issues.
Flint citizens will have the opportunity to vote on the new charter. When is that vote going to happen, and when will you know the final language of it?
We have completed the draft. We have a comment period, which started February 6th and will end March 6th. On March 8th, the proposed charter will be delivered to the Attorney General's office in Lansing, and they have up to 3 months to review it, and our hope is that we will have it on the August ballot.
What happens if the voters reject the new charter?
We have the opportunity to resubmit. We were elected in May of 2015, and we have up to 3 years to complete the process. So that would give us another opportunity to go back and review it, revise, and resubmit.
So you might put it before the voters a couple of times before everybody's happy with what's happening.
Yes, but our hope and our goal is to get it before the voters one time. And that is why we're strongly encouraging citizens to take a look at the charter that we are proposing. They can go online and look at it at www.flintcitycharter.com, and they can give comments as well, and then they can also look at the changes that were made. Then we have a meeting coming up on February 25th at Bethel United Methodist Church on Ballinger Highway in Flint, and we're asking people to come out to that meeting because we're going to take 3 hours to go over it, review, take comments, and just get, you know, opinions from the public. But we want to be transparent. We want people to know what's in the charter before they go to the polls.
We've been speaking with Cleora McGee, the chair of the Flint Charter Review Commission, which is proposing the city's guiding document be replaced. Thanks very much for explaining this to us.
Thank you so much.